All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm John Batchelor, Sebastian Smee. His new book is Paris in Ruins, Love, War, and the Birth of Impressionism. Julie, the daughter, a perfect representation of Bert. And Julie is with her mother at the end. And her mother rallies herself the last night of her life, I'm following Sebastian's reporting, to assign paintings to different ones of her friends. And Julie is a miracle that emerges from the Eugene and Bert marriage. Eugene has died several years before. And so Julie lives on with the memory of her mother and the friends around her. I think, is it Renoir that lives well into, one of them lives well into the 20th century.
Yeah, Renoir does.
And you're quite right to say that she's lost, because even though I have a cursory education in Impressionism, I never heard her name before. And now you reassure me that that might be commonplace.
I think it is in many ways. You know, her full name was Julie Manet, of course, because she, you know, she was the daughter of Eugène Manet. But the fact that, you know, they managed to keep the Manet name in her family, I think, is really telling. And, you know, she writes an incredibly beautiful letter. I mean, I still get emotional when I think about it. At the end of Bert's life, Bert had tended Julie when Julie was ill, and she seems to have contracted the illness from Julie, which then kills her. So it's incredibly sad. But, you know, she writes this letter on her deathbed to Julie, which basically says, you know, you have never once not made me happy in your small life. It says all the things perhaps that you might expect a mother to say to a child when she knows she's dying, but in such tender, simple, and sincere terms that it really brings a tear to your eye. But yes, Julie then goes on to sort of tend the flame of the Manet and Morisot legacies. And recently there was a whole exhibition and a book devoted to her. She is an important figure. She was painted many times by Bert Morisot. So there are pictures of her, all through the world's museums. And also Manet painted her as an infant, Edouard Manet, before he died. So, you know, she's a really important figure. And I think, the fact that she lived on and sort of carried on the Morisot and Manet flame is something we should all be thankful for.
There's a theme. How does it go, Sebastian? The fragility of life, the joy of youth, and all of us living with the fact that it's going to end. How does it work?
Yeah, there's an essay, it's a little known essay by Sigmund Freud called On Transience. And he wrote it in the aftermath of another terrible conflict, of course, the First World War, where so many had died. And basically, he talks about walking with a friend in the landscape and admiring the beautiful flowers and the sun and so forth. But the friend is depressed because he's saying, and perhaps no wonder he's saying this, because he's just, you know, living in the aftermath of such a horrendous period of carnage and death. He says, this is all very well, but I'm upset and depressed because I know that all of this is going to come to an end, that everything beautiful in life is going to end, that we're mortal and that things are always changing and always dying. And Freud says, well, yes, you know, I can't dispute what you're saying, but perhaps there's another way to think of it, which is to think of our awareness of mortality. You know, it makes us aware of how transient everything is. But perhaps that can make us value it all the more. In the same way that we value objects for their scarcity, you know, a rare vase or a rare painting. You know, if something is a one-off, then we assign a higher monetary value to it often. Freud argues, well, you know, we can think of transience value as scarcity value in time. That's his concept. And, you know, if you think about it, there's something very beautiful to that. And I can't help but think of Impressionism in those terms. It is an art of transience. It's all about capturing fugitive effects. And I think Bette Morisot did this better than anyone else. And, you know, her paintings of children are filled with a feeling of, okay, they're children now, but, you know, half a year from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, they'll be very different. People, all of us, keep changing. And her acute consciousness of that was not something to feel depressed about. She wasn't saying, well, it's terrible, we're all going to die. She was valuing the present moment in a way that I find incredibly moving and affecting, because it is so truthful. You know, it's not artificially applying meanings and permanence to things. It's saying, okay, life is fleeting, but look how beautiful it is. Look how colorful, gorgeous, and tender it is.
You note that she paints a series of young women. I take it they're 14, 15, 16 years old, and that's a success for us today to see how young women presented themselves.
Yeah, you know, and often we think of paintings, you know, of young women by men as being somehow prurient, and, you know, the whole history of the nude and so forth. Well, Bette really saw them as they were, as young women or children. She was interested in the way they were on the cusp of other states, adulthood and so forth. But she often painted them or drew them making music, playing the violin or the piano, with animals in the garden and so forth. And I just think she did this with an incredible tenderness and incredible affection, and always in a way that was alive to the fact that they were in the present tense, but the present would always be changing, a bit in the way that Monet painted haystacks or cathedrals multiple times to show how they were always different depending on the conditions of light and weather and atmosphere. I think Bette Morisot did a similar thing with domesticity and with family members and children.
However, I do note that there's an irony as Sebastian comes to the close of this adventure of the Impressionists. That is, that what was young and new and sparkling and revolutionary is soon to be orthodox because of the avant-garde is coming. I love that detail, Sebastian. I mean, this is work to you. It's all a discovery to me that here comes Munch and Van Gogh and Picasso, and they're not going to have anything of it. The avant-garde, like, that's the old way of doing things. We're going to do new things. Well, I understand they build on each other. Did they talk about Baird, the avant-garde?
Did in many ways, absolutely. And you're right. You get this weird dynamic of people reacting against what's come immediately before them, but also building on them. And of course, the thing that Impressionism did more than any other that affected the avant-garde going into modern art and beyond is the liberation of color. Okay. You know, you have paintings before Impressionism that are all about building up from sort of muddy brown darks towards, you know, bright highlights, all very carefully done. Well, the Impressionists just liberate color, and they say, we don't need to build up from darks. Let's just get light as it really is. And color is therefore liberated in ways that artists like Munch and Van Gogh and others use for expressive purposes. They say, okay, I'm not just going to paint a green tree because it's green. I'm going to paint it, you know, with purple shadows and with red leaves, and that's going to communicate my emotions. So you get a series of moves, if you like, that are all a reaction to Impressionism. But one of the things that these painters do is try to give their pictures more structure and more of a sense of permanence. And that's fine, you know, that's valid, but the fact that they're doing that is a sign of, you know, what they really saw, right, was at the heart of Impressionism, which was that it was about transience. It didn't have enough sort of structure in their eyes. It was too ephemeral, and it didn't look right to hang this in museums or expect this kind of art to last for centuries. Well, you know, their criticism is fair, but they were wrong to say that, right, it wasn't going to last, because it has lasted. And I think that's because we all recognize something in Impressionism. We all recognize that there is a truth to this valuing of transience and fugitive effects.
Paris in Ruins, Sebastian Smee.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time. It's always vanishing. the commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.